Yesterday, we travelled into the throne room of God. We saw what they do in the heavens. That in the heavens, we glorify God. We heard in Revelation 4 and 5 that that is the reason we exist, to glorify God. And we glorify God because of who He is. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. He is holy, He is almighty, He is eternal. He is trustworthy. As people in Christ, we can have total assurance of our salvation because of who He is. And it's right that we cast our crowns, the crown of victory won for us, given to us by Christ. It's right that we cast those crowns at His feet. Because we don't need to wait for heaven to glorify God. We do it now as we come to know the truth about Him and as we declare that truth to others. That is how we cast our crowns before Him and glorify the holy, almighty and eternal God. But then we went a step closer as we went from Revelation 4 into Revelation 5, further into that heavenly scene. And we saw there that the scene that the Apostle John saw, there was this scroll written on both sides, jam-packed with information, containing God's plan for all of history. The problem was there was no one worthy to break the seals, open the scroll, and unleash God's plan for history. But actually, as we read on, there was one. A slaughtered lamb, the Lord Jesus, who through being slaughtered was made a lion. And we saw that God is at His most glorious in the broken body of that slain lamb, the Lord Jesus. For by His blood we are redeemed. By His blood we are released from slavery to sin if we would turn to Him. Importantly, in the heavenly throne room, there was one thing that was ours, that's genuinely ours. And that's our prayers in those golden bowls. If we want to be a people who glorify God, we must be a people of prayer. Because prayer expresses our trust in Him. And so this grand eternal vision in Revelation 4 and 5 is there declaring the glory of the slain Lamb forever. It begins now when once we've turned to Christ. We declare His glory in our weakness. And so today, as we launch our Vision 2022, it's in acknowledgement of our weaknesses. And it's out of a longing that we might proclaim Christ to the world so He might be glorified through us. We'll start with Matthew 28. Jesus has died, Jesus has risen, He's there with His disciples before He ascends to heaven. And these are His last words in the Gospel of Matthew to the disciples. He says, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." Tom's Vision 2022 is a declaration by the disciples of Christ in this place at this time, expressing who we are, trying to put into words what we will be praying our Heavenly Father will form us into come 2022. The foundations of the vision come from what we learn in the Scriptures, in the Bible. The particular details and goals are those that we've developed as a parish over the last 12 months. And so this challenge to go and make disciples, it's nothing new. We carry on what the disciples of Christ have been doing for 2,000 years. But with Vision 2022, we go forward with a picture of what the result might look like in 5 years' time, of a series of prayers to pray, to ask God to work in and through and among us over these next 5 years. The strength of having a vision is also the weakness of having a vision. It's important that we're clear on this. The strength is we have a document by which we can focus our disciple-making attention and energy. The weakness is our sinful nature will want to take over and convince us that the success of the vision stands and falls on our effort. We heard yesterday, it's about glorifying God. It's about pointing people to who He is in His nature and His character, and in particular to the slain lamb. So Vision 2022 tries to maintain two great theological truths of ministry: that we plant and water the seeds of the gospel, but it is God who gives the growth. Paul, when he's talking about writing to the Christians in Colossians and describing his ministry, he says, "I labor to present everyone fully mature in Christ. And to this end, I strenuously contend with all the energy that Christ so powerfully works in me." Us and God together. So as much as this vision is a call to action, first and foremost, it is a call to prayer. Asking the Father to work in us, to work through us, to work amongst us in particular ways over the coming 5 years. The picture of what things will look like in 2022, God knows what that will look like. But this focuses our attention. It gives us something to pray towards and to strive towards and to work towards under Him. Will you join us in this mission of Jesus to make disciples of all nations with a view to presenting everyone perfect in Christ, fully mature in Christ? Now, everyone has had different levels of involvement in the development of Vision 2022, right from you've had no part in it. You may have heard snippets or something that's going to be on, this might be your first time hearing about it, to those that have invested considerable time and energy in putting this together and shaping it. Wherever you sit, whatever your involvement, we invite you to partner, to commit with us in Vision 2022, confident that nothing is impossible with God. So today, we're going to take you through that vision and that thinking and where we're coming from. And we... our hope and prayer is that you walk away from today going, we want to be part of this, part of God's people in this place, and we're going to pray that God does this great work among us and through us over these next 5 years. Will you join me with me as I lead us in prayer, and then we'll start thinking about some of the specifics in our vision. Gracious Heavenly Father, without you we are nothing. You are the creator and the sustainer of all things. You are holy and almighty and eternal. And we come to you today, we look forward into the future of what you might form us into as Tom's Anglican Churches. And Father, over the next 5 years, we ask that you'll grow us into a people who are increasingly mature in Christ, and that through our proclamation of Jesus, the slain lamb, the Redeemer, through that outreach you would add to our number. Not that we can say we've achieved our goals, but that we can point to you as the one who saves, the one who gives the growth, as the glorious King and ruler over all. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Folks, I want to start by thinking about disciples who make more disciples. We heard a whole series of interviews yesterday of people engaging in ministry, going about that work of making disciples, whether it was talking to people and sharing the gospel with them, whether it was encouraging one another, whether it was praying. We heard a whole lot of stories yesterday, and that's what we want to be thinking about. Again, Matthew 28, all authority in heaven on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. To help us see what this process looks like in sort of a visual way. Now, any of you here were here yesterday and thinks that the little bloke looks notoriously like Phil, who spoke yesterday. Can I say it was Larissa Goscombe who came up with that cartoon and found that and made that? I will be sending it to Phil, if you saw Phil yesterday, afterwards. Beautiful. Thanks, Josh. So just trying to put Matthew 28 together with how we see things. Or trying to put that Matthew 28 and display it in a picture and thinking about the things we do as a church. Matthew 28 starts, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me, therefore go. Where are we going? Well, we're going to make disciples of all nations. So who are the people that need to become disciples? Those who've never heard the gospel. Where does that start? First gospel contact. We need to contact, we need to engage people with the gospel. They need to hear it. But not just simply hear it. We had 2,000 people hear the gospel on the 10th of December last year. I think it was the 10th, maybe it was the 11th, for carols last year. They heard the gospel. But we don't want to just have them hear the gospel, because it's about making disciples. So we want to engage them with the gospel. We want to personally share the gospel with them. Can God save through something like carols, a big event, or a one-off thing like a men's outreach breakfast that we're going to have? Absolutely He can. Because the gospel is going to be proclaimed. We're going to speak of us being sinful, of Jesus being the risen Saviour. Call people to repent. But at the heart of making disciples is sharing the gospel in those personal relationships. And so Jesus says, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. That's part of that, explaining the gospel, calling people to repent, calling people into fellowship. So that they go from that initial contact, sitting down, having the gospel shared and working through the gospel and its implications, that they might repent and turn and become a disciple of Christ. And when they're welcomed into the fellowship, integrating disciples, it's not because Toby and I are maths teachers that we use the word integrating. We actually worked and tried to find a different word that would be better, but that is the best word. Because when people become Christians, what does Jesus want them to be? Part of the fellowship of believers. Part of the body of Christ. So they do need to be integrated into the life of the church. So baptizing them, seeing people come under the lordship of Christ, and teaching them to obey. So we keep up that work, isn't it? So it just goes, yes, Jesus is Lord, I put my trust in Him. Is that the end? No, we keep growing. Jesus wants us to become more like Him. And so we teach one another to obey everything that I've commanded you, and surely I'm with you always to the very end of the age. So we want to be moving people along from that initial gospel contact, sharing the gospel with them, praying that they might repent and come to believe, and then we help them integrate into the fellowship of believers in this place. And then keep strengthening them and seeing them grow as disciples of Christ. And then the last part, serving. Because really, this is the heart of what we do as Christians, isn't it? Making disciples is these two things, outreaching and maturing. sharing the gospel with people, and then reminding one another of those truths and the implications of it. So the serving is engaging in ministry, challenging and equipping one another that we might be engaged on these first two sections, the outreaching and maturing. That's what we long to see happening. I think that's a reasonable depiction of Matthew 28 and what Jesus calls us to do in terms of making disciples. I want you to do something for me. You've got that diagram without Matthew 28 there on page 13 of your booklets. I want you to have a look at that path and write your own name in there. Where are you on that discipleship path? Have you just sort of stumbled in here today or brought you along and this is the first contact you're having with the gospel? Are you in that process where the gospel's being shared with you and you're weighing up, is Jesus Lord and Savior whom, in the one in whom I need to put my trust? Have you just become a believer? Are you just settling in and trying to find your way among us? Or are you maturing? Or are you up to looking to serve and how do I engage in ministry? I'm going to get you to something else. It's normally the opposite of what I do in church. Can everyone please take out their phones and switch them on? You can keep them on silent so it doesn't ring, but get your phones out. If you don't have a phone, that's okay. You're just going to have to use your brain rather than have an electronic device to tell you the answers. What I want you to do is, whatever you use for messages, go through the last 10 messages, the last 10 people that you've communicated with. Again, if you don't have a phone, just think through the last 10 people that you've called on the telephone or you visited or chatted to. And I want you to put their names on that discipleship path. The last 10 people, where are they at? These are people that you know. If you want to present them fully mature in Christ, where are they in this discipleship path? You may find that it is husband or wife. But that's okay. Where are they? Because we're still ministering to one another, aren't we? The last 10 people you've engaged with, where are they on that discipleship path? See, Vision 2022 is about those people that whose names you're writing down at the moment. Where are they on the discipleship path? And how do we help them move to the right? Come to know Christ and mature in Him. Before we get carried away with to-do lists, because that's our sinful nature, isn't it? What can I do? We need to be clear on the foundations. What lies behind this whole idea of making disciples? Why is making disciples this great imperative? Yes, I've put up that one verse from Matthew 28, but what lies behind this instruction of make disciples? What lies behind this being such a crucial priority for us at Tom's? Now, if you'd like to turn over to the next page, it's the gospel. It's the gospel. Now, in your booklets there, I think we're up to page 14 now, there's a statement of the gospel. But we've left some words out. I figure if I read it out, you wouldn't pay much attention to it because we go, yeah, we know that. So I thought if we leave some of the words out and made people work out what the words that were, we'd all have to think a little bit harder. So I'm going to give you 2 minutes. You might want to work with the person next to you to try and fill in the gaps of that statement. We believe the Bible, which reveals that in God's great, He saves sinful people like us. Well done. We believe the Bible, which reveals that in God's great mercy, He saves sinful people like us. Although we reject him. He forgives those who trust in Jesus and welcomes them as dearly loved children. This is possible because Jesus died, taking the anger or wrath and punishment we and rose again in victory to reign. Awesome. That is the gospel we proclaim. Now, how does that shape our thinking? I'm going to hand over to Toby.
I'm glad I was hearing lots of responses. You guys are familiar with the gospel. That's a great starting point for us. But how does the gospel affect us in our thinking? How does it shape our own thinking, our own feeling? Well, that's the next bit that you can see just below in your booklets. It shapes our thinking about what we're on about and what we as a church want to be on about altogether. You can see there's three things. Firstly, the gospel means that we long for God to save and raise people to new true life in Jesus. If the Bible reveals that God in his great mercy saves sinful people like us, if this is what God does, then we long for God to do it, don't we? We long for God to do just that, to save and raise people to new true life in Jesus. That's our longing. And secondly, we don't just long for God to do something, but we long for people to respond. We long for everyone to turn and follow him. If the Bible reveals that even though we reject him, that he forgives those who repent, those who trust in Jesus, and he welcomes them, sinful people, as dearly loved children, then that's our longing for our neighbours, our community, for the whole world, isn't it? We long for people to put their trust in Jesus. We long for everyone to turn and follow him. And finally, if these two things are true, if we're longing for God to save people, if we're longing for people to turn to Jesus, then what's our part in it? Well, we believe, don't we? We believe in the gospel that it's only possible because Jesus died, taking the anger and punishment we deserve, and rose again in victory to reign. It's because of what Jesus has done. And so for us, we want to proclaim the truth. We want to make sure people understand that it's all about Jesus and what he's done. And so because we long for God to save people, because we long for people to turn, we're going to keep pointing people to Jesus in everything that we do. So you see the last sentence? Therefore, the focus for us in all we do is pointing people to Jesus. And this is how disciples are made. Now, if you turn back to where you wrote down some names on the discipleship path, have a look at the very start of it. If you don't have any names there from the people you just texted or had calls from, in that very first section, people that need to hear the gospel, that need to turn, people that you'd long for God to save, think now, who are the people in your life? Who are the people that you long to see saved? Who are the people that you'd long for God to save? Take a moment, write down a name or two there. The people that you're really concerned about. Sometimes it's pretty easy for us to talk about wanting to see the whole world saved in this big picture, this abstract idea. And that's good, and we want to have that desire. But really, often it doesn't quite hit home for us until we start thinking about the people that we know, the people that we love, the people that are important to us. And that's when these big ideas, that's when we feel the power of the longing. The people that we know at present are heading towards destruction. Uh, It's important for us to think about those people. And if you've written some down, that's great. What I want you to do now is to turn to the person next to you. Share, who's that person? Who's that person you are longing for? And with them, pray for that person. Ask God to save them and raise them to new true life in Jesus. Pray that they would turn and trust in Jesus. And ask God that you and us as a church would faithfully point them to Jesus. And that's just following those 3 points to pray for them. And sometimes it's hard for us to talk about this part of our thinking, because it's not just our thinking, it's our desire, it's our longing. It touches our emotion, our affection. And sometimes it's helpful when we're thinking about engaging our emotion and our affection. We use other means like song and music. That's a tool for us to connect our emotion to the truth that we're talking about.